Fortunately, on the path below, a cloud of dust appeared to divert John from these useless regrets. Monsignor Franco Olivieri emerged from the cloud, standing up in his stirrups, flogging his dispirited horse, cursing in a fluent, unpriestly way. John glanced back up the mountain to the ancient convent, a pile of rocks on top of a pile of rocks, the sun just sliding down behind it, and felt the first glimmer of triumph. He had beaten the Vatican by 3 hours. Olivieri halted with his whip in midair when he saw his rival. Then he sat down heavily in his saddle. "Captain Dryden, imagine meeting you here." His sarcasm carried clearly in the dry mountain air. "I take it my ordeal with this foolish nag has been for naught."
"I fear so."
John was glad to switch to flowing Italian, which had none of the awkward, archaic constructions of the nun's Greek. Fortunately, Olivieri was a modern priest and didn't insist on speaking Latin outside the Vatican City. John's village school education hadn't prepared him to trade silken insults in Latin. He reined in Malta a few feet away and appraised Olivieri's dreary horse with an expert eye.
"You are so seldom blessed in your mounts, Monsignor. You might think of shipping your own, and then, perhaps, we might have a better race to the finish line."
Olivieri was eyeing John's saddlebags, and John instinctively felt in his pocket for the knife he always carried, and had so far used mostly to cut string on parcels of books and statues. But the Monsignor forced a good-natured laugh and wiped the sweat off his face, leaving a dirty streak behind.
"Come, Captain, let us descend and find a taverna. I will buy you a drink while you regale me with your tale of victory."
The nearest taverna was a hot, dusty mile down the mountain, and when they finally arrived, John wanted to call for ouzo and gulp it like a glass of cold milk. But he needed his wits about him. He chose a rickety table next to a window, so that the rays of the afternoon sun filtered through the dust and illuminated the tabletop. He set his saddlebag under the table and kept his foot on it, and his eyes on Olivieri's hands as they gesticulated over the ouzo mugs. The Monsignor was a subtle sort, ungiven to overt violence, but rumour had it the big ruby ring on his blessing hand contained a little poison ampoule. But Olivieri wasn't a Borgia after all. He kept his hands to himself and his poison ring closed, and he never even asked to see the manuscript he had come so far to attain. In fact, he was all that was gracious as they exchanged news about the rare book trade and discreet queries about each other's major client.
"That regent prince of yours, I hear he's become a collector."
He beckoned to the barman to replenish John's drink.
"Has he?"
John covered his mug with his hand, and the barman departed, leaving the jug of ouzo behind.
"He has a fine collection of classical art, I hear."
In fact, John had purchased much of that art for the regent, and had recently persuaded him to rebuild the king's decimated rare books library. None of this was a secret, for the regent was given to public pronouncements about his art purchases. But John was elusive by nature, and didn't want Olivieri to pin him down.
"And the Vatican?" "Unfortunate that the Aquinas portfolio turned out to be a forgery."
Olivieri muttered a blasphemy, then glanced around to make sure the barman was not eavesdropping. His voice dropped so low John had to strain to hear it.
"His Holiness was too eager for it. I knew it was false from the first, but he never listens, you know. It said what he always wanted Aquinas to have said, so it must needs be authentic."
John leaned closer, almost forgetting to keep one eye on his companion's hands as Olivieri poured them both another drink. Forgery was fascination for him, and Olivieri was one of the world's experts on detection.
"Was it a modern forgery? Fritz Müller, perhaps?"
No.